Welcome back, everyone. This is Jovan bringing you episode 11 of The Secret Podcast. Shh. Okay, so I got guest number 12 with me. Guest number 12, please say hello.
Hello.
So guest 12, you're officially the youngest person I've had on. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, how does that make you feel?
Jeez. Well, you know, that makes me feel pretty... I know I'm not young. I mean, I work with campers. Like, I'm a...
So you're the top dog. You're the old man.
And I am. I mean, yeah. My counselors are like 18, 19, I'm 20. I feel old. The kids think I'm 35 or 40 years old.
Yeah, well, I mean, plus you got like an adult body. It's, you know, you're different than most people who are 20. Yeah. Nice. True. So I guess that kind of jumps into the first question of what is your profession?
Well, I'm in business school. I'll be going to my third year university, but...
Yeah.
For about 4 years now, I've been working with kids, and I started at the, well, I don't want to say, but with the YMCA.
Yeah, that's general enough.
Okay.
You can keep your identity a secret.
Okay,
yeah.
But started with the YMCA, and I've been working there. I've worked in pretty much all of their childcare offerings, you know, daycare to after school care, and then to camp. I focused with camp because I go to school, so in the summers I've done camp, and started as a counselor, and then I was a program specialist last year, so I oversaw a team of 20 counselors, the programming, the games with the campers, and then a lot of behavior management, and this year I'm the area head, so
nice.
I have a
You're
program
crushing
specialist
it.
Of myself, and then
yeah.
The campers. I wouldn't say I'm crushing it. I mean,
you're
I'm
going through
I'm
the
not,
motions,
but
you're doing it.
Well,
you're doing a good job.
You know, I would hope so. It's good to learn new things. I feel like I'm definitely learning a lot as I go on and I progress throughout this time. But I do realize that it's not something I want to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, when you're at, like, when you're at that stage where you think to yourself, like, this
you're
is
right.
Great. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing, but it's time to go.
Yeah.
It's
you're at the
leave.
Impasse. Yeah.
Right.
That's like people. You know, it, like people who have that travel itch or whatever, it's that sort
yeah.
of sensation. Everything's fine, but I feel like it's time to, you know, move forward.
Or when you're almost, when you're done on that vacation, that's what I was thinking. That like 10-day.
Oh, yeah. And you're just exhausted. You got another 2
yeah.
days and you're like, I'm done. This vacation is paradise, but
I
know,
I'm
good to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So I maybe should have brought this up earlier, but you're actually an avid podcast listener.
I am.
Is
yeah.
that correct? So I don't think a lot of other guests I've had on can
really?
Say that.
Are you
yeah.
serious?
My first guest listened to podcasts, and guest number, the second guy. I should know the number.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was
He's
it? Guest number?
The casting guy?
9. Yeah.
Okay.
No, guest number 10. Yeah, he's a podcast listener. But otherwise, yeah, no, people just...
Honestly,
know.
The way I look at it is now we have so much mobile time. So it's time that you don't necessarily have the time to read a book or take notes on a video or watch a video. But you have a lot of time when you're driving, when you're working. I mean, look at all the wireless headphones that we have or, you know, car audio when you're driving somewhere. Your phone, you listen to podcasts, and that makes work more enjoyable. I know when I'm doing menial tasks, when you're like... not really engaged. So say like you're doing some sort of Excel worksheet.
Yeah, I was gonna say any sort of paperwork that is just punching the numbers.
It's just punching like a machine
yeah.
could do this for me 100%.
Yeah.
I put on music or a podcast. And podcasts you just learn so much from and they're enjoyable too. So.
That's true. And plus yeah, if you're like alone, it's just a lot better to listen to a conversation.
I know, yeah.
Than to just be alone. You're
yeah,
like
no, seriously.
You take, you know, keep that conversational wheel going, even if you're not part of it. So it's good.
The Joe Rogan podcast. It's my
yeah.
number one right there.
And so do you listen to podcasts more or music more?
Podcasts.
For sure.
Yeah.
Is it like a 90-10 or just 100%?
80-10. 80-10?
80-20. Okay, sorry. Yeah, 80-20.
80-20, I would
good.
Say podcast and music. And usually it's the Joe Rogan podcast or Harvard Business Review or
yeah.
Dear HBR. Sort of tie in what you're learning, what you want to go into with
but,
just some enjoyable.
Yeah, something entertaining as well.
Yeah.
yeah. Because, yeah, there can be podcasts that are just, like, super boring to listen to
mm-hmm.
for some people, but having a good blend is yeah, always helps.
Yeah, it definitely makes it a lot more enjoyable.
Thanks. All right. Well, back to what you're currently doing.
Okay.
So you're working with kids.
Yeah.
What would you say is, like, the easiest part of that, and then
mm-hmm.
what's the hardest?
Oh. I mean, that's a tough question. Honestly, the easiest part is when everything's running smoothly, all of my counselors are with the kids are engaged in the programming, and I get to go out there and just throw a football with the campers, play soccer with them, play kickball. Like, there is no better time. I don't think there's a better job in the world. You're literally a superhuman LeBron James compared to
me. Yeah, surrounded by many people.
Like, we played dodgeball yesterday. At the end of the day, I was like, you know what, guys? Got all my counselors together, and we said, let's just play a huge game of dodgeball. We had, like, 20 dodgeballs. We had, like, I don't know, 50 kids. They were just everywhere. And then I was there playing, going 110%, whipping balls.
Yeah, nice.
Honestly, it's the funnest thing in the world to do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it balances out with the shitty stuff, which is – it's –
you hit a kid too hard in the face, and then
that does happen. We got that out of the softer balls, but you know that's a pretty bad feeling when you whip the ball as hard as you can.
Start crying, or become a monster. You know, I wanted to be a LeBron, not a monster.
Yeah. No, but I think the worst part would definitely be when you are dealing with a situation that it's so easy for you to understand. It is so easy. You see,
you can say,
is no big deal. Like, okay, man, you just got to go with your group now. You'll be able to go with your friends later. It's going to be super easy. And they just won't listen and they don't understand. I think everybody who works with kids has felt that way. And it's the getting over the anger and the frustration and making a decision based on that that's clear-headed. Because I make decisions about, you know, if a kid needs a break from camp or talking to parents that could potentially affect that parent's day at work. And so it has a larger impact than just today at camp.
Yeah.
And so for me, the biggest factor is, how do I alleviate the stress, anxiety of this job to make a clear decision that has everybody's interests at hand? That's the hardest thing to do, and it's not without stress, and it's definitely not without bad decisions sometimes, but I think I've hopefully gotten better than when I started.
Yeah, and I was going to say, that's something that's like a growing process. There's no one that's naturally skilled at that, like unless they were raised in a really big family and they were the caretaker or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a learn-as-you-go sort of skill set that everybody has to acquire for working with kids. So, yeah, I guess you're just, that's what you
it's
got
not,
going.
Well, it's not even work with, it's just, yeah, it's like anything.
Well, I guess it's like anything. But with kids specifically, them not understanding certain situations that might seem simplistic because the way that their brain is in the middle of growing, like doesn't really have that there yet, or they're still learning.
Well, I think kids are really similar to adults in a lot of ways, if you think about it.
Emotions.
I mean,
adults,
the emotions.
Yeah.
Like, I was a soph at Western where I go to school, and it was a week, I remember, because that's what we're there for. We're a week people to kind of facilitate and make sure it doesn't get too out of hand, but also to bring in those kids who are, you know, eating alone and are not coming out of their rooms.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not that different, to be honest with you. Drunk kids, drunk adults.
Like
18, 20, and then, you know, you get older people that I've dealt with too, parents who act like their kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all the same thing. How do you deal with the situation, moving your emotions from it? That's definitely.
That's a great thing to have. I mean, you're getting into business. Do you know it specifically yet, or is it still general?
So going into program that I'm in, it's going to be looking at, you know, finance or consulting, so something within the financial services industry or something within, you know, management consulting or dealing with other issues. Maybe it's human resources. I don't know yet. I've tried to talk to a lot of people. Again, I listen to a lot of podcasts on, like, career development, trying to figure out where I want to go.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I want to do, but I feel like those skills translate to a lot of places.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to say, is that you're going to be dealing with people and people's money, and that can make people emotional. Like, you can, you know, you have, like, you might say, oh, like, if someone's, I mean, this example might make absolutely no sense, but the whole, like, if somebody's got to sell their business or their house or something to pay off something else, Or they have to just, like, change this aspect about their, like, lifestyle, where it's like, oh, if you just, you know, stop doing this, and then you can save money to go towards that.
Well,
a lot of emotions get in with money, where they, you know.
Yeah, and what brought to my mind is, you know, money or just, like, smoking, like someone trying to quit smoking.
Yeah.
Or drugs,
you go, you could save, like, you know, $3,000 or more, and then they just go.
Yeah, it's very, you know, harassing behavior.
Yeah.
People want to think of kids, they think of irrational behaviors.
Yeah.
And kids not knowing how to deal with certain situations well. If you look at it in a larger picture, I believe that same thing holds for adults too. A lot of what we do is irrational, if you think about it.
Most of what we do. Why is gambling a thing?
Yes.
That's insane.
That's the one that I was thinking.
That makes literally no sense.
Lottery tickets. It doesn't make sense to me at all.
It's like, have an adult fun time or whatever. Like, I don't know, like their advertising they have for
that.
That
is the saddest thing in the world to go to a casino and see. I remember I went to the horse track last summer.
Yeah.
And we went to the casino after, and the slots, oh my goodness. You see people coming in. And they're alone,
yeah.
And they're coming from work or something, and they're dressed normally, they're not going out with friends, and just sitting at a slot machine, pressing
spending
a button, and you see that $50 go to zero real quickly, and then they replace it. It's the saddest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's the exact same as an addiction. Imagine
it
if
is.
There was like a 24-hour bar, and you just have people that are just perpetually there, drunk or drinking to like make sure the sobriety doesn't come back,
yeah.
And they're just constantly... And they're all dizzy and spinning, and they have shuttles that bring you back to your work or whatever. Like, they make it so that you can drink as much as possible without dying.
That's,
that's what they do with gambling.
That's 2040 for you, with machines coming
out. Oh, no. Automation. Automated bars. Damn. Yeah, actually. What do you think is going to happen there? Because that's a huge possibility.
I don't see it as a possibility.
What a job crisis, I think, is going to be inevitable.
Look back in our history.
Hey, looking back in our history doesn't, it's humans for humans. AI is completely different. It's a human genius without emotions.
It's been machines versus humans for a while. If you think of all automation, it's been machines.
Yeah, but...
robotics, car plants, or mining, or... renewable energies.
Yeah, but I think the biggest thing with that is that efficiency has been taken over by machines, and it has been since like the 50s or whatever. It's slowly been getting more and more convenient. But the one thing that we can always tail back on, even when technology was getting incredible and taking jobs away from, I don't know, coal mining or whatever, you can get into human resourcing or service or something like that. When machines take away human interactive ability, whatever it is, I think that's going to throw throw a pipe in the cog. It's going to mess with our system.
What we can take from it is, we have a lot of these machines are stealing not only product jobs, manufacturing, assembling, but they're also stealing now.
It's going to be cars.
Replacing the service industry,
which
is what North America is primarily based on.
Yeah.
We're no longer a manufacturing country. We still have car manufacturing, and obviously we're doing timber and BC and Quebec and other places, but in oil in Alberta. But for the main, job market in Canada is service based. If you look at the largest cities of Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver, they're all service based cities. I mean, you look around, go to their downtown, they're going to have Deloitte's and KPMG's around, and they're going to have banks, and those banks provide services. And now you're dealing with automated financial services. That's going to be the biggest replacer of the white collar workers, which haven't really felt this yet, in large part. I'm not a genius in AI. I don't know what's or blockchain or anything, but at the same time, it worries me quite a bit. It does worry me quite a bit.
Because there's the service aspect, but then it's going to hit us at every angle. It's not just that. At the exact same time, it's going to be cars too.
Yeah.
Where with cars, I think people panic at that concept, but for me, I think less deaths is always a good thing. So that's not just making things more convenient, but actually saving lives, because they don't fall asleep behind the wheel, they don't drunk drive.
I can't wait for that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
The sleeping thing is what scares me the most when I'm driving.
Yeah, and distracted drivers, the texting.
Yes.
There's so many such. In Toronto, the death rate has gone up, like it's spiked for some reason with people getting hit. Yeah. There was like 3 deaths 2 days ago.
Well, it's wrong. But as of late, has been awful.
Yeah.
All the shootings and stuff. And
I'm glad not to live there.
Well, I want to live there.
You just got to wait for it to settle down.
Yeah, settle down a little bit.
But
I don't know. I really don't know what's going to solve it. We could have a conversation around guns, but to be honest with you,
there's no point. It's illegal. It's bad.
Yeah.
So now it's just about regulating it. And also, if you look at any major city in America, because their gun laws are so much more lenient, the statistics are just, you know, staggering. Like, clearly we're in a better situation.
Yeah.
It's an outlier. It's like a shocking event when it happens.
Yeah.
But like what happened in Toronto, the shooting that happened, what is it, Greektown?
Right.
That was a big deal. That was like nationwide. Everyone was hearing about it because it was huge.
Yeah.
In America, that's like, that's our Wednesday. Like, that is no big deal at all. Because that wasn't like a mass shooting or anything. That was just a guy with a handgun who was crazy who ended up killing three people.
Well, that was an act of terrorism, I believe, in the United States.
That was terrorism?
We're still hearing about it. Well, they call it terrorism when it's something to do with religion most of the time.
Yeah, because it's ideological, and if they're crazy, then it's not planned.
I think that terrorism could be...
If you terrorize.
Well, who was the guy who ran over the people in the Kearns? Or what was he? 4chan, involuntary cell
really?
Of people. The incels, right?
Incels.
That's an act of terrorism to me. It doesn't matter that it's not religion. You still have an ideology behind it.
Yeah, you still have the idea of I want to hurt people.
Right, so
yeah.
I think in America you see a lot of gang violence, and for some reason, even though there is ideology behind it, we don't see the same sort of acknowledgement of
with gang violence. Is that just them attacking other people, or are they attacking their families and stuff?
Well,
because that would be the difference between gang on gang versus
it's
terrorism.
Gang on gang, right?
Yeah.
So I think that is where
the outlier is. Just if there's a target that is also violent, maybe
right.
like if you had incels like attacking cops or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we would call that terrorism. It would be a gang related attack because it's one group against another group.
Right.
But when it's just against the mass public, then it's terrorism. I don't know.
Well, if you
That's
think about it from a large perspective, it is the same thing because you're looking at 9/11, which was radical Muslim people attacking.
That was the old group. What were they called? Before
ISIS.
Taliban?
Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda,
Al-Qaeda. Well, they're still attacking the ideology of America.
Yeah,
of
it was Western secularist capitalism.
Yeah, and I think that was primarily the backlash of a country and a place in the world that has been left behind, right?
Yeah.
In the sort of humility or embarrassment, I believe, was behind that caused them to be frustrated and take out their frustration at somewhere that was very successful.
I don't know the reason. Not that we would ever find out the reason, because everybody is dead, but I don't know what it was, because, you have people saying it was economic, it was political, it was religious.
It was all of those things.
Yeah,
it was
definitely a combination. I'm just surprised that it was the people who did it were doing okay. Like the pilots who took over.
Right.
They were like raised in America.
Mm-hmm.
They were smart people who were in university, and financially they were doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most shocking thing to me, where it's like, but I guess it was their families and everything, whatever the situation was, where it's like,
well,
we have to take
that.
Well,
that's where the embarrassment comes in, is because people who are in shacks in the Middle East aren't going to be embarrassed.
No, for them it's great. They're like
ties to those places who also associate with others who are successful.
It's their family and all that,
their people, it's their background that I believe they get embarrassed about, and so they have the ability to lash out. Now, a lot of these terrorist attacks aren't with well-to-do people. I know 9/11 was, but it seems to me like they're using these people.
It's always desperation. Of course they're using those pawns.
Right. So,
every time, whether it was the bombings that happened in Europe, like the one that happened at the Ariana concert, the one that happened in Paris, the one that happened in Brussels, and then, now the shooting in Toronto. It's clearly people who are emotionally vulnerable and who are mentally vulnerable. Like, whether they're, like, either have an extremely low IQ, so they're easier to control, or if it's, like they're emotionally disturbed or whatever, they're like, these people would be perfect. So they sign them up for their cause and send them on their way. And then bada boom, bada bing. Because it's the smarter people who usually don't put themselves in the danger, but they're like putting everyone else in it, the heads of ISIS or whatever.
Well, that's the same everywhere you go.
Yeah, it's organized crime.
I know,
military,
it's...
Bunch of cowards.
Well,
all the top heads are like, I don't want to put myself in danger, but you can do it.
Sort of
you need a foot group
and other people who are thinking, and the people who are thinking can't die because there's too much risk involved in there too. Obviously that is the case, but anyways, I don't know, I really I find it frustrating, definitely. I believe everybody does, and figuring out a solution, I don't think a solution is going to be bombing them even more.
I would say the solution, I don't know enough about the military to have an opinion on it, but from a simplistic, naive point of view, so I could be wrong, or could be this simple and no one's thought of it, but what if you just pull everyone out?
Yeah.
What would happen, right? You can secure your, like, all the military we have in the, like, third world countries, why don't we just put them, like, around the border, like, help them with vetting people and assimilating them rather than trying to kick people out? Or have us
well,
there, like...
because if you think of America or Canada, we need an enemy. And not to be all George Orwellian.
No, or philosophical with the concept of it, but it's kind of true.
You need an enemy, well, and just economically, because we have all of this industry that goes
towards military spending, and
that contributes to jobs. And in politics, jobs is the number one hot button issue that gets people elected. And
well, let's go to space.
Troops out, we don't need these troops anymore. I mean, how are we going to keep spending money on ammunition and missiles and tanks and cars and things like
that.
It's
gross. It's the war machine. But it makes sense economically, right? I don't know. Space Force. Let's do it. Let's get rid of people on the ground, Russia and America and space fighting.
I honestly think he has a point, and it is that we should be spending more on
space travel and space technology.
Yes.
Let's create a slipstream engine.
And it's the same thing. You think of the military industrial complex. It's the same thing with NASA. They produce spaceships that they literally send out and they never see again. And then you get SpaceX that can send them up and down. I don't know how many times they've sent.
So clearly, it's worth putting money into.
What? Well, the same thing would apply, right? Like, would we be spending money on useless space junk that would go out into space, never come back, and then we would just need to keep building it so this produces jobs and it produces more waste?
Yeah.
Or should we spur some sort of private companies like SpaceX?
Interest, because there's another one other than SpaceX, which
is
almost doing the same thing.
Is it with Jeff Bezos?
I actually don't know
if he has one.
It's it was I think it's another American. I forget who. It was like a Falcon or Eagle thing. I should know. It's just been a long time since I looked it up. But there was a neck and neck thing, and then SpaceX just completely took off. But yeah, there are other companies that are trying to do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we make it a thing where it's like, oh, it's still about patriotism and about military.
Oh,
now it's in space. So you got to keep that motivation going in the hearts of America. But just put it towards something that's actually good, right? Like, stop keeping us on the ground and making guns, like, extremely efficient. Let's make space shuttles efficient, you know. Yeah, dude, I want a base on the moon. I want to get there. And tragedy would still happen. Russia would bomb it or something. It's like, oh no, the president's daughter was on the moon when it got hit. I wonder if she's okay. And then, oh, we found her. She was under a rock. I don't know. But that'd be a better future than just constantly, you know, Middle East being the place of attack. Yeah, it's not good for anyone. There's no future there. So it's up there, man. It's up there.
There's obviously no future if you're destroying it. I mean, obviously...
Yeah.
Not just destroying it, they're a terrorist organization.
That are trying to get out.
They're trying to infiltrate the spaces.
You've
got to think, like, put yourself in the shoes of somebody who lives in Syria.
Who just so happened to be born in Syria.
Just happened to be born there, and they're living a peaceful life when, you know, a terrorist organization may have invaded your city, and then America had bombed your city, and, you know, many people you know died. I believe there would be a lot of frustration and a lot of uncertainty. And I believe that uncertainty and frustration, I mean, we were, again, once talking about why this happens a lot with people.
Yeah.
Why are they so emotionally vulnerable? Well, I mean, how emotionally vulnerable would you be if your whole family died and you were left with literally no infrastructure around you alone?
Yeah. And especially when something like that happens, there's no one to try and educate you on the situation. They're just, you know, you hear from someone else that there's, like, you know, you got to get out and there's a refugee program. So you go to it and that's it. So you're desperate. You don't know anything. And then someone comes to you and says, hey, you know, try to pause or whatever.
Yeah.
We believe in you. We want to help attack America that killed your family.
And you finally hear somebody that says, you know, we want to
help
you.
The solution. They have the information.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah. Hear my answers.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got on this point talking about cars. It's about AI, yeah, and business and where the business is going to be. That's great. And yeah, and so, you know, I think all of that is worth talking about, but on the major floor, because right now politics are still just about drama and Pizzagate and, you know.
Well, Pizzagate.
Who did it?
No, all my.
Drain the swamp, and now the swamp's just filling up.
Well, okay, come on. There's been a swamp forever, and it's going to continue being there forever.
I know, but that was like the big talking point. It's like, nothing happened about it. What are you talking about?
Nothing's going to happen about the swamp.
Of course not.
I mean, it blows my mind how this isn't a bigger issue. I mean, you see all these politicians coming in making, I don't know how much you make being a senator. I think it's $500,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's under a million, but it's good.
And they come out being multi-millionaires. It's like, this doesn't make sense. There's somewhere this is going.
Yeah, clearly there's a collusion.
Clearly there is special interest in play.
Yeah.
I don't know, but, you know.
I'm just surprised that everyone believes every time there's a campaign that the person saying is like,
that's true.
I'm going to build a wall. And it was like, yes. And then with Obama, like, yes, we can. And they're like, yes. And it's like, it's great. Like, no, it's great talking points. And it brings the people in. But why do people not have a healthy skepticism towards this? Where it's like, I'll vote for whoever seems like they're actually going to do a better job, rather than I love what that guy said and he's going to deliver. It's like, no, he's not. None of them have ever delivered, ever. I think Reagan was the last one to deliver because he created Reaganomics or whatever.
Well, you know what? I believe that we don't give enough credit to politicians.
The little things. That's true.
Who are in power. It seems like, to me, it just seems too hard to believe that there have been, you know, I don't know how many presidents since Reagan. Probably
say like
six, seven.
Yeah.
And they've all been terrible. Because
I wouldn't say that. I'm just saying the promises.
Yeah, the promises never come through, but I believe they have to make so many promises in the campaign.
And plus, a lot of people say this. Imagine what happens where they make all these promises and they're like, we're going to change the world.
Yeah.
And then once they get into office, they just, you know, they sit down in like the secret office or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, okay, ghosts are real, aliens are real, we're having a secret war. And all of this stuff. And they're like, if you do this, then that actually means that country that we had a secret alliance with that you now know about is going to attack us and we instantly die. It's like, fuck, like, oh my God, I had no idea before I came here.
And you think about we have to change, I believe there has to be a fundamental change in politics for any real change to occur. Because you have the campaign trail of literally day after day of these politicians campaigning for hours on end. You better believe that they are going to say some wacky things, crazy promises.
Yeah.
All the time that you're talking, like, you're going to inevitably say
exhausted.
Some stuff.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to come up with things to get people's attention.
Yeah.
When you even goes to these rallies, have you ever actually watched a full rally?
No.
It is so boring, and I don't know who would want to go. It doesn't make sense.
It's just people who don't have jobs. They've got a lot of time on their hands. They just want to watch people.
Well, maybe that's why they're so engaged. Maybe they don't have jobs.
But, we have the internet now. So why do we have the people on the streets? Why can't it be a thing where you have, like, a streaming, like, they're on Twitch or something. You see Clinton on Twitch, and it's like, you can jump in at any time. You can watch her video at any point. It's like Netflix.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't have to, like, turn the TV on at the right time that the TV show's on. You can watch it at any time, though.
Well, I'm sure a lot of them.
And they're clean and precise. Because I guess they do that now. They do, like, videos and stuff. Like, Trudeau does a bunch of that, where he does, like, clean-cut videos. And then
you go on YouTube and you search of a politician, you'll find many, many cuts.
Yeah.
The long form, the rally. It's something about the missing in the digitization of it because of really rallying the people, of getting a group together and exciting them. That was something Obama and Donald Trump were very good at, speaking to large crowds, feeling the energy of audiences and exploiting it. They wouldn't have been able to do that with digital communication.
I guess not. Yeah. Because you do have to build a community, and people like seeing the person face-to-face.
Yeah.
But, like, there's still, like, there are millions upon millions of people who tune in to internet identities. Like, do you know about that boxing match that's going on? The Logan Paul and KSI.
Okay. Is it going on?
Yeah, it might be this weekend. It might be happening right now. And I only know about it just because of how big it was. I didn't want to hear about it. I'm not going to watch it, and I'm not even going to watch the highlights. But I know about it, and millions upon millions of people are going to view it. Like, they're saying it's going to be, like, as big, if not bigger, than pay-per-view.
Really?
And they're a bunch of YouTube celebrities. Yeah, it's insane. So they're going to make so much money.
Hey, I work with kids. I see that.
Yeah.
You see it. The change between media forms is, I believe,
huge.
A huge impasse right now.
Yeah, TV will be dead.
CNN, Fox, MSNBC, all of their average age of viewers are above 60 years old. I believe Fox is the oldest.
That hurts.
It's close to 70. CNN's the youngest. I believe it's at the lower end of 60.
Yeah.
And these kids now are getting news. They're getting entertainment from YouTube and stars like Logan and Jake Paul. When they hear my name, Jake, the first thing that comes to their mind the most of the time
is
Jake
Paul.
Start
doing that dance?
Jake Paul. They're asking me if I know Jake Paul. Like, what is this at all?
This doesn't make any sense.
It sucks.
Leave me alone.
Who are you guys? Come on. It sucks. I've seen his videos. I don't like it.
No, they're terrible. They're void
so
of substance.
Bad. And he's so bad.
He's not a role model.
He's
yeah.
not a role model at all. He's so disrespectful. He flaunts his money like it's nothing. And he's not mature.
But they love him, man. He's so cocky. They just love it.
Another point that I really have seen this summer is the difference between cultures. We're a culture that kids are engaged in this stuff, in Bad Barbie, in Lil Pump, and things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas in India and China, these places, since electronics and the digitization and uploading and downloading things, and work has become so seamless between different types of workflow softwares that have enabled companies to reach into India, reach into China, pull their best workers, and then have everybody work on the same platform in different areas of the world. We're going to be competing, and we already are, against India and China and these other upcoming countries. And this is what our generation of young kids are looking at,
is
idiots on a YouTube screen.
Yeah, because
God believes they're not doing that in India and China, and I believe it's gonna come up to haunt us.
Yeah. Like, I feel like every country has its own problems. So in North America, Canada and America, entertainment is rampant. You got people who don't want to work anymore. They just want socialism to take over. Just the entertainment aspect of it doesn't matter if it's morally right or wrong or if there's any educational value to it. They just want the flashy images and they want the celebrities and they want the drama and the fighting and whatever because it's super entertaining. And while the economy gets worse and worse, so it's like they move more towards this as escapism. And then you have India where it's extreme overpopulation. I don't think it was India, but there's a lot of issues with driving and stuff like that as a workforce. So a lot of people are moving towards internet and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's like people just work at home all the time. Right. And their culture is a lot. Apparently it used to be very, very open, like with relationships and stuff like that. But then when England came over in the 1800s or whatever, they changed their culture to make sex something that is completely shamed. So you can't even like kiss someone in public without the threat of like being knocked out.
Oh, wow, really?
Like their culture hates open romantic gestures. But their religion, like Krishna and like the Hindu religion, they have like a god of sex where it teaches them different positions and stuff. Like they were very open about it. Like it was a big thing in their culture was lovemaking and stuff. With one of the blue guys. I don't mean to say it in a sensitive way. I'm not educated on the religion, but they did have, it was a very sexual religion. But now that's just been taken away.
I think that's a happy problem for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
In my opinion, religion and workers, I think when I look at it from my counselors, the ones who I believe are the best or some high achievers just so happen to be very Christian or very Catholic. I believe it teaches you some values.
Like of authority, of community.
Yeah, authority, of hard work, of discipline. Yeah. Of forgiveness, of trust, those things that are absolutely necessary to work in any environment.
Yeah.
And when you see a very religious society who is very overpopulated, has a lot of hardworking individuals who are ultra competitive versus what we're looking at in our society, which is something that is less religious than ever.
Disconnected.
That is valuing entertainment, valuing privilege of, my parents have great jobs, so I'm going to get a great job and I can go
on
this
being lazy.
Easy stream of being lazy and living a good life while the other people in India do the back work, the back office work, the boring work, the accounting work that's being offshore. I believe that's something that's a grave mistake. I think I see a ton with campers. Just as an example, we have, I would say, 90% white Caucasian campers, probably 5% or 7% Muslim or Middle Eastern campers, and then a small minority who are of other places. And there was one camper who was of Chinese descent, and he is so helpful. I don't know why, you know, I don't...
He's just
I
wants
don't,
to help.
He's just so helpful, and if I tell him to do something, he's right on it, and he does it. Boom, 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 boom. It's good. Oh, that's so great. He likes to do it. It's something that he's really, you know, he likes to do. Now, I don't know if that's maybe just a cultural discomfort, and so he feels like he has to do this to fit in because he doesn't...
Or it's easier for him to be working rather than just socializing.
Or if that's something that throughout his years of living in China.
I would say that's the biggest problem with the Western side is that we are super lazy because we're being raised on convenience. And everything, the all-you-can-eat buffets, everything's cheap with Walmart, everything like that.
Yeah.
And then it's a lot harder for them in their countries. Like, China is a workforce. The entire country is just a job.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, it's just nothing but work there. And
you strike a good balance, though. That's
because there are serious values that are needed that are not coming from secularism because there's just nothing. There's no discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's nothing. So it's like... It'd be nice if we could take the best parts of religion and just make that a sort of new cultural norm.
Yeah. Well, you got to take the good with the bad.
I guess.
You have to. I mean, you got to take the rigid belief and ideology with the hard work, the dedication, other things that it teaches.
You got to take the stories with it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean...
The only issue is that, like, what's going to be the future for humanity? Are we just going to have... Because different religions say you can't, you know, damn the other people of other religions.
Yeah.
They're told to not like each other. So it's like, how can we be friends? Is there a way to bring it all together, a global way?
The way is to interact with people from different religions. And I believe we're going to see more of that as workforces start to integrate with each other.
Yeah.
Which is to do with, you know, automation.
Yeah, but then so you bring people together and it builds tolerance, but it does that because they see that the other person is human too, and then that they're just the same, they have the same likes and interests and stuff, but that doesn't change what's in the scripture or in the whatever. So you're always still going to get people who are hateful.
I believe we're going to get watered down.
That's what I hope, but then it's not going to happen with the book saying the exact same stuff. So that's
more integrated, I believe people are going to make up their minds, and they do. I mean, you look at
well, we have different types of Christianity. We have different, you know, there's ones that like care less about what's written in it.
Well, look back to 50 years ago. And there's a reason why older people have more rigid ideologies, right?
Times
they were learned and they learned different. But as you integrate into a more open society, where you interact with other religions and people who are less religious than you, you start to water down your own beliefs.
Yeah.
And I think that scene when, you know, you look at immigrants who move here and their parents wear the hijab. Their mom would wear it, and then the child doesn't wear it, and then that you can best believe the child after that's not going to wear it anymore.
And then their kids probably aren't or whatever.
And so, you know, you see some sort of watering down
of the basic assimilation. Because
that's just assimilation, really.
Yeah, because back in the day, it was like, you know, everybody got along relatively well with each other, except for the Irish and Italians. There were outliers, of course. Like, I know at least one couple way back when that happened to love each other and make a bunch of kids. But other than them, they hate each other. But now, I'd like to think they're okay. Maybe there's a secret war going on.
Yeah.
And then now it's way more broad. It's people from far-off countries. And there's a lot of hate going on. There's a lot. Like, I have people at my work who are, like, into, like, Alex Jones. I don't know if you know him and his conspiracy theories.
Yeah,
and they think it's real and legit.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's the whole,
like, civil war going to go down?
Yeah, and that every politician that he doesn't like is, like, raping children and stuff. He says a lot of crazy stuff. And there's, like, people at my work who are just, like, they're trying to get rid of white people, and this is going to be, like, a race war is going to happen, and we got to start paying taxes for reconciliation with black people. I'm like, what are you talking about? Nothing that you're worried about is happening. And you just sound like you're going to start a war. Like, what's that? Like, it's freaky stuff. So you have people on that side, and then obviously you have people who...
On the other side. There's going to be people on sides anywhere you go.
There's no way to tone down extremism.
There is no... Well, It'd
be nice.
Where we're gonna go.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard. Hopefully,
this is all
it's the right
product.
Direction.
This is all a product, I believe, of YouTube. You mentioned Logan Paul.
Yeah.
And the reason you saw those videos and I didn't see those videos is because you're clicking on something.
I'm watching YouTube instead of listening to podcasts.
You're clicking something that's somehow related to him. And so when you click on Alex Jones, you're getting 50 other people just like him.
That's
instead
true.
Of some other
related
left
bits.
People.
And a lot of people are saying that about Facebook too. As soon as you click on something, you start getting related news feeds.
Yeah, that's what I believe that's a big problem.
Yeah, and they're saying that's the big reason why the election turned out the way it did, was because everyone just became a bubble where they didn't listen to the other side. And then now you got divisiveness through social media. So thanks, social media. You're supposed to bring us together. You do the opposite.
Bring us apart. Yeah,
it's terrible. But apparently nobody likes Facebook anymore. I'm still on it because I still use it for events and messaging and stuff like that.
People are always going to use it.
But I think Twitter has now become dominant.
You think it
used to be Facebook.
No way.
You got to look at the numbers. Tons of
really?
600 million was dropped on the stock market.
Yeah. Well, that's because of the projected earnings. But you best believe that every other tech company is going to face the same problems.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, social media company. You look at Twitter. I know Facebook owns Instagram, but Snapchat. You reach a saturation point, and you reach the point where we're not paying for subscriptions, so we have to get advertisers. And the advertisers are paying for people to reach.
And if we reach the most people that we can,
the advertisers can't pay us more money than they were going to because they're reaching the same people.
Yeah.
And so when Facebook gets whatever 4 billion people, and that's basically the saturation point, of course they're going to project lower earnings than they are going to, you know, if we had this extrapolated exponential growth they were receiving before.
Yeah.
Same thing's going to happen to Snapchat. Same thing's going to happen to Twitter, LinkedIn, other things like that. So, I mean, there's always a saturation point.
Yeah.
And it doesn't worry me that much.
Yeah, and they did the same thing to Tesla because Elon Musk seemed unhinged at one point, but that was okay.
Well, you know, it's interesting to see the statements in social media through Twitter affect actual stock prices. You look at the Kylie Jenner Snapchat thing.
What was that about?
Who even uses Snapchat anymore? It's so lame.
Oh, no.
And the price went down like 10 or something percent.
Because it's people who are basing what the prediction is going to be, right? Like they're trying to base what's going to happen when something happens.
Yeah, I mean, you see this, it's just micro dissemination.
Yeah.
Really reaches so far. Kylie Jenner on Twitter, I don't know how many millions and millions of followers she has, but you could even think, it's possible to think that the Kardashians themselves, with all of their reach through all their social media platforms, are more powerful than Fox, CNN, and MSNBC combined.
Yeah,
right?
Which is freaky.
Just consumer base.
Yeah. But as far as having that much reach goes, there's not a lot of power behind it because it's like
there's no real message.
And well, not that there's no real message, but even if they were to say like, oh my God, like I hate Trump, vote for Hillary or something, the youth just don't vote. So
well, the youth
nothing
is going
happens.
To be voting in 10 years, 20 years.
Yeah.
They're going to be growing up with these icons and
then do whatever they say.
Things.
Yeah,
that's what I believe. I mean, what's the price for an Instagram post if you want to get somebody with millions of followers to post for it? It's kind of
pretty gross, yeah.
It's the future, in my opinion. That's the future of news broadcasting, of anything.
Populism.
It's going to be through social media. It's going to be through big individuals instead of columnists actually doing what's selling.
And, yeah, you don't have to do any work. It's just people love you.
And this is me coming at it from looking at it through the youth.
Yeah.
I don't see it for through older individuals.
And plus...
You get it, you know.
Yeah, and I think, there's also the aspect of the fact that from the age of, let's say, 30 and up, you're a homeowner. Maybe you're a parent.
Right.
You have more at stake in the economy, so you pay more attention, and your vote is based off of that.
What do you think? Do you think we should raise the voting age?
No, 18-year-olds aren't even voting, so it doesn't matter.
No.
Keep it where it is. There was a huge movement that happened, like a Cineplex advertisement to try and make people change the age down to, like, 12. I'm like, what? They're kids. No? Like, that's so dumb. It's like, sure, kids are more clear-minded than adults at certain things because they have no value on certain things so they can see things a little clearer that way, but so they have a childlike mentality.
12? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, no.
So you know what that would be? That's like, that reminds me of that Sacha Baron Cohen, if you watch She Was America.
Oh, with the guns?
The,
yeah. They're like,
seen the
4-year-olds.
The Shopkins guy?
I don't know. What was that
one?
Oh,
you have to watch it. It's so
well, I just remember the one where it's like, they get the little stuffed animal with the little string attached that has the pistol in it to shoot them.
Episode.
And
no,
like,
watch it, man.
We only got it, you know, maybe we'll stop at 2, because you know what they say, terrible 2s. We should give them guns. But the other was.
I love that show. I watch it, and it just, to me, speaks volumes of when you're doing an interview with somebody, or when you are speaking publicly in whatever engagement, you've got to be careful. You got to be careful because if you take their humility, you take their word for what they say, and you just think of the I think it was Dick Cheney, right?
They signed the waterboard.
And he said, you know, he's talking about he's using Dick, his name, in other aspects, in other ways. That was very funny, and it was like, how could Dick Cheney be sitting through this? Well, he's sitting through it because he thinks that Sacha Baron Cohen is actually using it in a real and
tangible
way,
but
really it's just comedy, so you got to be careful, and you can't be taken advantage of, because if you get taken advantage of, it's everywhere for anyone to see.
Yeah, but that's the price you pay to, you know, get recorded or whatever. It's because most people don't do it. Like, so far none of my friends have come on to do this, and I don't think they will, so that hurts, because it's like, hey, support your boy. But I still understand people who don't want to have their voice recorded.
You shouldn't have that. You know,
I don't have controversial questions. I got personal questions.
Yeah.
Hey, so, Jake, what, do you believe in destiny?
Yeah, so I should have the topic.
Yeah.
Well, just to finish off the thought.
Yeah.
If you go through your life being scared to speak, you're never going to stand for anything.
And there goes freedom
anything,
of speech,
you're never,
too.
You're never going to
get ostracized.
All the successful people, not all the successful, many successful people have gotten there because of their opinion. They've gotten there because when they're working, if you think of some CEO or if you think of a owner of a business, whatever it is, they're not paid to make a product physically, or they're not paid to work with numbers and get a definitive answer on something. They're paid to work in the abstract.
Yeah.
They're paid to voice their opinion on some matter within a boardroom, or they're paid to talk amongst employees and get them to do something. Your voice is going to be your own. It's going to be used more than you use it. People are going to be following what you say.
Yeah,
you
got
to be comfortable talking to people, and what you say does have impact. But if you never explore that impact, you're never going to be good at using it, and you're going to miss out on a lot of opportunity. So I would say those people who aren't doing this podcast, you got to practice, I believe, because if you ever want to be someone, someday you're going
to
need your voice.
Yeah, you got to be able to speak up. You got to be able to have people hear you, all that kind of stuff. Because if it's just not wanting your opinion out there because people disagree with you, you could say literally anything. I like water. You're going to have
people
disagree with you. People
are going to disagree. Yes.
Milk. I'm a milk bro. How dare you? Like, you know, so people are going to disagree with you.
I'm lactose intolerant. Come on.
Yeah, that was rude. Like, So, yeah, that's true. That's a good point. But, yeah, okay, so now that we're, you know, over 48 minutes in, I'll skim through some of these questions with you and then get to the opinion section. Let's see what we got. Do you believe in destiny?
No.
No?
No, definitely not.
Great.
No. It's like
You understand the laws of physics. It doesn't have to be an emotional take, like, oh, babies die in hurricanes and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, natural events do cause insurmountable damage to innocent lives, but without even looking at the emotional, because a lot of people do it like that, where they're like, oh, you don't believe in God, why not? And it's like, terrible things happen. You have to believe in his plan. It's like, I'm not taking an emotional approach here, and not even to bring in God, just the aspect of destiny, that there is some determinism to what you do.
Yeah.
There's just the laws of physics.
I know.
The butterfly effect. These are things known in science. So from that, should we not extrapolate that we live in a random world where billions of variables are happening at every second,
that's
and anything
exactly
is possible?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You
never really know. Any split decision you make, like when, you know, you're driving down the road, if you make a tiny turn, or if you're on your bike more, I ride my bike a lot. If I swerve, I miss a pothole, I get hit by a car, so many things could happen that change your life. I believe that some people see it as destiny has to have happened. This, I have to have destiny.
Yeah, there's a point
just,
to it.
There has to be some point.
Yeah.
But I believe in just random. That's all coming and going, and you're going to go down a different path of life.
Yeah.
Whatever situation you take. So.
Yeah, it's like a video game analogy. You know, we're not doing The Legend of Zelda where we're on this script that we have to follow. This is an open world, baby. This is Skyrim. You can do whatever you want. So there you go. Let's go. What is your favorite movie?
I watched Dazed and Confused last night. That was a good one.
Yeah, that is. That's a classic.
I like to see the new Avengers.
You haven't seen it yet?
Not yet, no.
But have you seen, like, most of the Marvel movies?
Yeah, I've seen the first two Avengers.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, then yeah, you're fine. Yeah. It's only the people who haven't seen, yeah, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, or, like, you don't even have to see Black Panther to understand what's going on in it.
I don't want to,
not to spoil
I'm
you anything.
I'm a huge movie guy, so I just want to
watch
it. Because I know there's so many other ones that go into it.
Yeah, because like, yeah, a lot of people saying, like, oh man, I would hate to be someone who hasn't seen every single Marvel movie because I want to understand what's going on. I don't think so. Because the movie is so filled with stuff. Because this has the largest cast by far now. It's just entertaining. Like, you can follow the story even if you don't know the character.
That's a long
point. So, yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah. And, yeah, it's very entertaining. What is your favorite song?
Song?
Yeah.
Free Falling, John Mayer.
Nice. Hey, live.
It's got to be live.
Great. That's a good one. And you've seen it live, or you've listened to it live?
No, I'd love to see it live. I love John Mayer. But, you know, that song, I've just listened to it, you know, from going. The song, the music that you love, usually you've listened to it in a time in your life that you really enjoy. And it pairs well with. So Free Falling for me was like first year university, end of high school.
Yeah.
Right. And then throughout, I've known the song forever, but those are the times that it kind of sticks with. And I can also sing it, so it doesn't have to be very
Yeah, that's good. Sing along, so. Yeah. I was going to say, music is super subjective in that fact. Because there are some songs that I can understand why people don't like them.
Yeah.
But, like, I love them because whatever. Because when I was 18, I was,
Yeah, that's exactly why. They give you the feeling. It's like they encapsulate a feeling, and when you listen to it,
emotion,
the feeling gets replayed.
Yeah.
That's usually why.
Nice. Would you risk going on an adventure?
Not now.
No? Okay. Yeah, most people have said no. And I tried to surmise that it's because we're like suburbanites.
Yeah.
And if we lived in a more urban, chaotic setting, maybe we'd be more risk prone or something. But I don't know what the real answer is. But yeah, you're with a lot.
Not now. At least not now.
You got stuff going on. You're busy.
Well, it depends. Would I like going on an adventure in 2 years when I'm done university? Sure.
Yeah.
Not now.
You're in the middle of something.
I'm about to go back to school.
Yeah. Okay. If you could make it back in time, then
if I could make it back in time,
then it's just then you're just going on a little
class,
What is on your bucket list? Do you have anything that sticks out? Let's top of your head.
Jeez. What's on my bucket list? I would say owning a house.
Hey, nice.
And paying off a mortgage, I believe. Like owning a nice house. Bucket list would be maybe building my own. I think that would be definitely
That would be extremely difficult.
Like not building
not many
it myself, but like
the blueprint
hiring
or
people to build it for me and it'd be a custom build.
Rather than
I'm a big architecture connoisseur, especially of houses. Like I go on MLS, which is multiple listing site, and look at houses a lot.
Yeah.
Just because I love to like kind of see different design patterns and architecture structures on the outside versus what it's like on the inside.
Yeah. Well, what are you a fan of most? Are you a fan of the open concept or do you like it more homely?
It all depends. I believe I'm not one big fan of a certain type.
Okay.
I think older houses are definitely really cool, but modern new houses can definitely look really cool too. But I would say if I had to pick, it would definitely be something like our aunt and uncle's. Older, looks really old, 1800s-esque.
But you're not going to just destroy it to build your own.
Well, I'd refurbish the inside.
Keep
the outside stone facade.
Yeah.
Inside, it's got to be gutted, redone.
Yeah.
With a little bit of stone maybe from the original house, but.
Yeah, okay. That's
so that's definitely what I think.
Nice. That's a good bucket list.
It's a productive bucket list. It's something that I don't want to be...
It's going to take your whole life. That's why it's on there, right? You could go skydiving tomorrow. Bucket list done and you're so young, ready to die. But with a house, that's a good one.
No, I mean, I'm not a big bucket list guy. I have something that you do and then it's over and you're like, oh, it's done.
Hey,
going to be something you work towards for a long time. That's the great. Joy is in the journey, not in the destination.
That's true. That's what they say about dancing. That's what they say about life. So that's a good one. So in the last 5 minutes, I'm going to run off some questions. Normally, I hit this at the half hour mark, so we don't have that much time. But yeah, so what is your opinion on tattoos?
God gave you this beautiful skin for a reason.
Ah, nice. That's a quote. It was beautiful. What is your opinion on the paranormal?
Don't want to think about it. Don't ask.
Does it scare you? It does.
I was really afraid of ghosts as a kid. So.
Well, me too.
I live in a big house, so it's probably haunted.
It was probably haunted, do you think?
I always felt like someone was watching me. I still get that.
That's spooky. Okay, we won't get any further into it. What is your opinion on feminism?
It's good. Okay, I don't want to say that. It's good.
No,
definitely good with the bad, I believe. I work with a lot of people who have strong views. I'm more centralist, and I tend to not take a strong opinion with feminism or some other things like that, just because it's not...
It's divisive.
It's
divisive.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have an opinion, I would say. I support feminists who...
geared towards its cause of, women's rights or whatever.
Yeah, I don't really have a strong opinion on it, though.
Yeah. Okay. What is your opinion on veganism? Are you a man of diet yourself?
No, I can understand why they do it.
Yeah.
Totally understand why vegans would be a vegan. Me, myself, love meat. I don't want to think about the animals who are suffering and... Because obviously it's terrible. It is terrible.
It used to be fine, and then we industrialized it and it became disgusting.
It's disgusting. Yeah. I really feel and I support people who would be vegan, but it's something that I just love meat. For me, working out a lot and needing to eat a lot of food, it's something that my finances support not being vegan, and I think that...
Yeah, it would be a different world if it had... a better accessible sort of...
It does. You can do it. Like, if you get a lot of canned beans and chickpeas, you can definitely get the protein.
Yeah, without diving into the tofu and the simulated meat.
I love tofu. I eat tofu a lot.
Yeah.
But the flavor aspect of it is just not for me. And I eat a lot of eggs. I drink some milk.
Yeah.
Those sort of things. So.
You're an old-fashioned farmer. Body was built to farm. If I can throw one more in here. What is your opinion on marriage?
Ooh, I was thinking about this. It's scary. 53%, I believe. 50%, something like that. Divorce. Yeah. That's very scary for me.
Because even if you could be totally, certain about your choice, what if the other person isn't?
Right. Well, you don't want that distrust, I believe, in a relationship. It is also scary if you are the one working, or maybe you are more successful or you have less debt than your significant other.
Yeah.
It's like, do we sign a prenup? And then that gets into dicey waters.
I honestly don't think it should. I think everyone should get a prenup, and it shouldn't
be
an emotional thing.
I think so.
It should just be a basic thing.
In our society, it has a lot of weight, right?
Yeah, but it shouldn't.
So I don't think it can. I do agree with you that. I think everyone would be better off if there was.
Even if they loved each other for the rest of their days.
Right.
It's not a lack of trust.
Just do it. Because, if I were to tell you that you were to get hit by a flying frying pan that fell out of an airplane, and when you went outside, you had a 50% chance of getting hit, would you go outside?
It's like, maybe you won't. You just won't do it. You'll get a job working online. Yeah.
So, it's scary, I think. I don't know. It's definitely something I think that it's such a big part of your life.
Yeah. You could technically do without. You can do common law and still have children and everything.
Yeah. But
it's
really the same
thing.
Like, just elope.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so we're in the last 10 seconds. Right before we leave, what are some parting words of wisdom you would give to the audience?
Live in the moment.
That's great. Live in the moment, everybody.